This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, Tony, Joe's in the house. Let's go.
Lawrence Holmes, noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, a radio.com sports station.
I'm here about the business. Ain't that right, Joe?
Joe Madden.
Which Cub wears the most cologne?
There's some guys, man, that when you if you give them a hug or whatever, it's almost like you can't even go see your wife right after that. She's going to be suspicious. I mean, some of these dudes really.
Manager for the Chicago Cubs.
You're trying to fool yourself into thinking that the oatmeal raisin is healthy. That's what people try to do. It's not.
Joe, overrated though?
Yes, they're overrated, Tony.
Oh, my God, overrated. A peanut butter, and I go peanut butter. Whoa. Way at the top of the list.
Hey, I learned a lot from watching Joe.
Joe Madden with Lawrence Holmes on 670 The Score.
Okay, nice.
We love that we get the opportunity to talk with Cubs manager Joe Madden every week. He joins me on the Alpamonte Ford hotline. Alpamonte Ford, 500 new and used vehicles for you to choose from at Alpamonte Ford. Here is the manager of your Chicago Cubs joining us all the way from San Diego, Joe Madden. Hey, Joe.
Good morning, Lawrence. How you doing, brother? It's 10 o'clock here, by the way.
Did you get a chance to get down to the water at all today?
No, I just barely got up today. My cousin was in town. Bob was in town last night, and Jay is here. So we had a little bite to eat after the game and a little drink with them downstairs, and also her brother, Chris. So we were up a little bit late last night.
Yeah, I can imagine, and it was probably nice to do that after a big win last night. What did that mean to you last night, just getting back on the winning trail and going out west on the road and being able to get a win?
Yeah, we've been like way too much like this, though, where we'll play really well, win a couple in a row, and looks like you're in good shape, and then you lose a couple in a row. We gotta get beyond that with about 19 games left or something like that. Now, it was great. Listen, it was great. Kyle was good. Nico provided some energy for us and some big hits. Up and down the line, Schwarber good. Castellanos stays hot. A lot of wonderful things. But, man, we got to somehow figure out how to maintain that method that you saw last night the rest of the season without any hiccups.
With Nico, watching him at the plate yesterday, it's got to be a daunting task. Guy was sitting on his couch. You guys give him the call that he's ready to come to the show to help out. He gets in the lineup, and it wasn't just that he hit the ball, but his approach seemed to be really good. Where does that come from with him, and how do you keep that the same?
That's just who he is. His swing is really grooved for that inside-out approach, similar to Castellanos. And as you watch him play, a lot of the balls he hits should reflect a very similar manner the way Nicklaus hits the ball. BP yesterday, I'm watching this first round, and the first, I don't know, four or five were just line drives to right center. It was a beautiful thing to watch. So when he gets in the game, he doesn't forget that. And the first hit, that little blooper to right field, two strikes, the pitcher, who is a friend of his from college, made some good pitches, but then a little butt out base hit to right because he stayed with his approach. The double down the left, or the triple down the left field line. Again, you see Nicklaus get out in front a little bit. Is able to hook the ball and keep it fair, just like Nico did yesterday. And then on top of that, he had a really good day at shortstop. So his is the approach that I really like. I think that's the tried and true approach. That's the one I like to see more young hitters adopt.
Is Nico going to be in your lineup today, or have you even filled it out?
Oh, yeah, he'll be in the lineup. Yes, he will. I haven't gotten to that yet. What I do is I send out, obviously, the lineup like last night. The guys knew who were playing today. But I will send out the batting order. I want to make sure everybody's well. I'll text with PJ, our trainer, this morning and just make sure everybody's the crossing of the T's, the dotting of the I's, and then they send out the lineup.
It's kind of an interesting situation for Nico to be thrust into where you're in the middle of this pennant chase and there's so many injuries that you kind of have to go to him to get him out there and play a little shortstop for you. When he makes it inside your clubhouse, what's that conversation with you like between the two of you?
Very adult. This guy is really, first of all, he's very smart, very bright kid. And then he's really mature beyond his years. And, gosh, it's really like talking to a guy that's been playing for the last 10 years in the major leagues. He was not, it's daunting, like you said. However, he's able to compartmentalize in a manner that speaks to, I think, great parenting and where he's come from in the university, Stanford University, et cetera. Easy. He was ready to go. He was not wide-eyed by any means, just like when I met him in spring training. I think that this is the kid that always felt he belongs here. And I don't mean that in a bragging, horrible way. He really feels very comfortable in his own skin. And you saw it. You saw all of that last night. So the conversation was very similar to the one I had with him in spring training when I was getting to know him. When you get a chance to speak with him, it'll come through immediately. He's going to look you right in the eyeballs, and he's going to tell you straight up. And he's not going to be overwhelmed with anything. That's just who he is.
It sounds a little bit like going back to, 2015 with you and Javi, where you knew that you had a guy that was going to find his way to the major leagues and could end up helping you.
Good comp. Very good comp. Different in some ways, but good comp. Both have great bat-to-ball skills. Javi does also. Both run well. Both have this the eyes in the back of their head when they're playing on the bases. Probably from a defensive perspective, Javi a little bit more flair about it, but nevertheless, both of them, I think, really like the spotlight easily. So that's not a bad comp. From the first time I met Javi, I always thought the Cubs were going to be a better team when he's on the field. And Nico, I can't say I had that original thought only because Javi was here, KB was here, et cetera. We have like this the group that already ascended, but this guy here is going to make his mark, and he's going to be here for a long time.
What's it like to know that you're not going to have Javi for the last 19 games of the season, likely?
Likely, and it's what's it like? It's not a thought you'd like to have. I mean, this guy's a difference maker than I just mentioned. I mean, he loves this moment. He loves being in the middle of all of it, and he handles it so well. So we have to just get used to that thought, and the best way to handle it is to not think about it. You just can't go the woe is me route. You just got to play. And I think what Nico did last night helps that. I think Addison's not going to be far off coming back. He's still in concussion protocol, but it's almost like kind of a day-to-day thing with him getting him back. So that'll make that better, make a sticker in the middle infield defense. So we're missing some really important guys. KB should be hopefully back, and I'm going to find out pretty soon. But you can't, my man, who's not here, you got to really work with those that are.
Talking with Cubs manager Joe Maddon here on The Score, you mentioned Chris Bryant. How has what's been going on with his knee affected him from your perspective?
Well, I mean, what I've noticed is that in the conclusion of his swing sometime, he kind of like has to catch his balance where the knee probably just grabs him a little bit. On the bases, he runs hard all the time. It's hard to see it, but then at the conclusion of the play, you'll see it. After a slide trying to get up, you'll see it. Defensively, I haven't really seen it laterally. I think he's moved pretty well. So it's there. There's no question it's there. He's a pretty tough kid. He plays through a lot of maladies. When I watch him in the batter's box, he looks right to me, and that's important because I have my checkpoints with all the guys regarding what they're supposed to look like in their setup, and the setup looks good. So let's see. I mean, like I said, I'm pretty optimistic he'll play today. And if not, he should by tomorrow. And a part of when a guy is hurting, it's just that moment where you're waiting for it to hurt before it actually does, and it impacts or messes with your focus or concentration because if I do this, that's going to happen. So hopefully he gets out there, and when he goes through his swings and he starts running, he doesn't feel it, and then he could just go on and play without that afterthought.
Kyle Schwarber over the last, 6 weeks or so has really been on a tear. What's different about him at the plate? What's he doing right?
More of a tension-free swing for me. Better balance, more hands. And that's the best way I could describe it. Less body, more hands, more from fingertips to elbows. Left center has really become his buddy again. He saw the home run last night. So primarily, watch when he takes some swings in the game right now when you're watching on TV. In the conclusion of his swing, he'll be able to finish it and just be able to stand there if he chose to for a minute. His balance has been that good. And when that occurs to me, just taking it backwards, that means your head's been still. Your head's still through the whole process. You're waiting for the ball to get there. You're not going to try to get it. You're staying inside it. You're using your hands. And then the final point is that you do create this balance. I used to have guys just swing and hold their finish, and you get all these five wonderful things occurring without me saying, keep your head still, stay inside the ball, hit the ball with your hands, et cetera. It just automatically occurs. So he's doing that in-game. It's not something he's doing as a drill pregame, and that's why I think you're seeing a big difference.
Joe, I know you're focused in on what's going on with your team, but did you think that the Cardinals were going to be this good at this point of the season?
They always had the potential, just like we do. They're hitting. They're getting more offense than we've been getting consistently. They're pitching. I mean, they got some nice pitching. Their bullpen's been stellar. I think primarily the differences I've liked them is their offensive side of the ball. I thought Ozuna, when Ozuna came back, and I don't even know what Goldschmidt's doing right now. I'm not really paying attention to them other than I know that they've been winning. I've always felt their offense is a threat. The Young, their shortstop, this kid can really hit. I think Dexter's finding a renaissance right now, and you know what Dexter can do. So it's not Benji. Yadier got back in the mix. So they're formidable at the plate. And that's where we have to really be able to catch up, is to do at the plate what they had been.
After the series with Milwaukee, after losing the last three games, how did you feel about how that series went and what could have gone better in it?
Primarily, again, we just don't hit their pitching that well. And, overall, their pitching, they got some nice guys, but overall, the ERAs are up, and that ballpark is a launching pad. And so it's disappointing that we did not become more offensive. The first game, we did it. And then after that, had a hard time. And that's the difference. Their two guys, primarily Grandal and Yelich, are the wrecking crew there right now. Again, some great support. Like Gamel's really come on for them, has really played well against us. They're missing their second baseman Hira, and that's really a big loss for them. But their two guys, Grandal, everybody talks about Yelich, but Grandal is the guy to me that was a difference maker there. What he has ascended over the last year or two, and I saw him with the Dodgers a couple years ago right-handed. He was pretty much an out. He's not anymore. He saw that home run in the upper tank the other day. He's a different cat left-handed, and I think the combination of those two has really permitted them to get back where they are.
With only 19 games left to play, you guys are right there in a playoff spot as we speak, but trying to win this division.
Right.
Does managing games now, is it different? Are you almost in like playoff modes where you can't go as long with a pitcher maybe if they don't have it that night, that sort of thing?
Of course, yes, we are. We have plenty of guys in the bullpen. A lot of the guys have been throwing well out of the bullpen. So you have to be a little bit less tolerant on the mound. That's true. So as you move it forward, you try to make your best guess. If the guy doesn't have it, you got to move the conga line. Regarding pinch hitting, although with the press pinch hitting-wise, it's normally against the right-handed pitcher, our starting lineup against versus the righties, the group that you want, regardless, righty or left-handed reliever coming in the game. But, yeah, you got to be a little less tolerant, a little bit more aggressive regarding making some moves.
I want to go back to Castellanos, and I know that we've talked about him every week, and with good reason. Ever since he's come to the Cubs, he's been an amazing player for you. You haven't seen any sort of, like, drop-off with him at all. He's just been this guy since the moment that he's put on a Cub uniform. How satisfying is it for you to know that you're going to put him in the lineup and he's going to do the things that you need to get a win?
Well, it's very reassuring. Like last night, how many home runs is he hitting his first at bat this year? I don't even know if it's like five or six, maybe. And they're really well struck. And a lot of them are in that spot, that left center, the almost dead center field, on the barrel. The guy's on the barrel most of the time. It is. And I know that the rest of the lineup feels the same way. I mean, I had no idea the situation we would be in without him over this last month or so. He is that. He's ready to play every day. Plays, like you said, it's a happy opening day. He plays every game that way. If he doesn't come through, he's really upset with himself. He has his joy for the day. Not just for the game. on the day off, like recently, he had a swimming pool brought in and a little barbecue in the center field at Wrigley Field for his kid and his girlfriend. They went out there and they had a picnic in center field at Wrigley on his day off. How many guys do that? So it's just who he is. He has a joy for the day, and that's what you have to play this game. It's a kid's game. It should always remain that way. You have to have a joy for the moment. I don't want to go off course here, but I always thought that was Ripken's. Cal's one of his greatest friends. He had such a joy for the day and the game. He made every day was a game. It was not life-threatening, and I think that's why Nicklaus has been so successful.
It's like he's really embraced not just being on a new team, but being specifically with the Cubs. It's strange to, and it's great to see him just immediately fit in and kind of make his own environment be what he wants it to be.
Yeah, listen, he doesn't let anybody contaminate his space. He is who he is. He came in. He was not worried about people misinterpreting him. This is who I am. There's no misinterpretation here. And I love that. I absolutely love that about a human being. And that's what I'm talking about, his joy. He's very comfortable in his own skin. This is me. This is who I am. This is how I react. And I'm a good baseball player, and I'm here to help. And I love being in Chicago and being a Cub. So it's not a real big surprise. I mean, I think a lot of times guys would come in and be a little more apprehensive about displaying exactly uncovering themselves. This is who I am. But he had no issues with that whatsoever. And I think that's a big part of why he's been so successful here.
John Lester has had some struggles over the last few starts. It's not velocity, it doesn't look like. What's happening?
Agreed. I mean, his stuff on the side looks the same. I mean, I like to see the curveball a little bit more involved, I think. And then, just getting ahead of hitters. I think the last couple of times, maybe trying to be a little bit too careful, trying to make the perfect pitch, I think has something to do with it. I like to see him get just a little bit more primal in his approach. Him and Cole the same way. Just be primal, go ahead, get ahead, and then go to work. But I like their off-speed. I like Cole's curveball also. The one thing I've noticed, and you saw last night with Kyle, curveball is a really good pitch. Hitters don't normally square up curveballs, and it's a ground ball pitch or it's a swing and miss pitch, and they both have really good hooks. And Kyle, my point is he's incorporating it more, and it's a really good pitch, and I think it takes him off the others. So more than anything, just be more assertive in the zone. Don't be afraid of your breaking pitch, your curveball. I think they're good pitches. And even if it's not the best in your mind's eye, it gives the hitter one more thing to think about, and it really exaggerates in a good way the other pitches and makes them more difficult.
Joe, we got some great questions from listeners this week.
Groovy. Hey, man.
All right, first one. When you were single, what was your go-to pickup line?
It wasn't a line as much as it was. It was called Camel Filters.
You pull out the Camel Filters and then...
Yeah. No, I didn't actually take a Camel Filters out. It was the Joe Cool line. So you would disengage from the pack. Because when you're just sitting around with a bunch of guys, then you have really zero chance on getting together with any kind of lady. So you would disassociate from the pack and you'd sit near the women's room, the ladies' room. And that way you'd be by yourself. So if anybody had been noticing you that night, that would be your best opportunity. So you would say, I'm going Camel Filters, and I get away from the group and get near the pick up a seat near the ladies' room, and hopefully somebody come in my direction.
Okay, playa. All right. I see you with that,
so
Joe.
You could go back to Timmy Grazio, all the boys back in town back in the day. And I used to really love to send drinks to a lady from my buddy. Like if I'm trying to help out Timmy, I'd pick out a lady at the bar, and I would send her a drink from Timmy. And she would just, the bartender would point, and all of a sudden my buddy would have an opportunity.
Okay, look at you being the wingman out there. That's good.
Oh, good wing. Great wingman. Are you kidding me? The best.
Okay, here's the second question. If you could have the absolute and total truth to one question, what question would you ask?
Oh, my. I'm really not inquisitive or curious with that. I really believe, and I want to believe, that I'm very a non-judgmental person. So, curiously... I don't have a good answer to that. My first thought was like, what do you think of me? And again, that wouldn't bother me if it was negative. I don't have a solid answer there, Lawrence.
All right. Well, we'll move on to the next question. Okay, I was thinking about that ethereally, too. Like what would I ask, is there an afterlife? Something like that.
What is heaven really like? Okay, that's cool.
That would be great to know the answer.
Yeah, right.
We'll never know. And this one goes in the complete opposite direction, Joe. All right, you ready? You're about to get into a fight. What song comes on as your soundtrack?
Rocky. the Rocky theme song, absolutely.
By Survivor, right?
Absolutely, no doubt. Come on, we're kids growing up. Was that 76 that movie came out?
Yes.
Oh, my God. I mean, even if you're not a boxer, you're just bobbing and weaving, practicing that out, and watching him go through what he goes through, and the Apollo greed. Appalling greed is what it was known as in Mad Magazine. Apollo Creed, they did the... The Mad Magazine did the parody, and it was Appalling Greed. I used to love that. And I always read Mad Magazine growing up. I read that in National Lampoon, Mad Magazine, A Fire Sign Theater on albums. This comedy stuff was absolutely the best. But I think I would go with the theme song from Rocky.
I had that as one of the things that you would go to. Like, I feel like that would get you – that gets you right, you know, just in case the other guy knows that they're going to be in for a long day.
I hate to be so predictable, but I think that would be true.
Well, Joe, good luck tonight and for the rest of the series against San Diego. I'll see you when you get back home.
Thanks, Lawrence. You be well, buddy. Thanks.
You too. That's Joe Madden, the manager of the Cubs.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.